You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Did you know that Indigenous women make up a quarter of murders in Australia? Yet we only make up 3% of the overall population. These are alarming statistics. Yet, what would you do if you were in a domestic violence situation at home? Would you stay in the relationship causing you harm? Or would you make the decision to leave? I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and this is the NITV Podcast.
What's happened there, sir?
I've killed my ex-partner.
So you've killed your ex-partner?
I'm pretty sure she's dead, yeah. Yep, she's not moving at all. So I'm pretty sure she's dead.
There are people around us whose lives are not what they seem.
And you just heard audio there from the SBS documentary, See What You Made Me Do.
We were approached by SBS about doing a series on domestic violence, and it took us a long time to work out what form that would take, what you could make that was actually watchable for people. And in the middle of that process, Jess Hill published her book, and it was a fantastic kind of marrying of projects to then meet her and realise that she'd be great on screen and that she'd kind of, you know, spent 4 years doing what we were trying to spend months doing to work out, what we should dwell on in terms of, you know, what is just such an enormous subject. It came about over about a year of all that combined research.
You just heard there from Tosca Luby, the series producer and director of See What You Made Me Do, a new SBS documentary film which will also air on NITV and at SBS On Demand.
There was a lot, obviously, that we wanted to try and get across, and I think whenever you embark on a project like this, there's always a lot that we didn't have time to include, so, you know, kind of acknowledge that. But also, a major thing was coercive control, because I realised that a lot of people didn't understand what that was and had never had it explained to them. And people who were experiencing coercive control would often not realise that until it was too late, or until it was, you know, they only saw themselves to blame. And so to try and shine a light on that and what that process might look like and how easily you can fall into these patterns was really important. And then, you know, there was so much other subject matter when people do so often ask, but why didn't she just leave? You know, I heard that a lot as I was making it. You know, people would say, I don't get it. I don't get how people get so stuck. Why don't they just leave? And so that was another question that I felt we had to unpack and answer in, you know, in simple ways, what is actually a very complicated answer as to why the many, many, many reasons why people don't leave abusive situations. We really wanted to look at solutions and try and for it not just to be presenting a whole lot of problems, that we were actually also going to present potential solutions.
There are sadly many women's stories told throughout this documentary series, See What You Made Me Do, and a devastating story of a domestic violence situation from Western Australia.
I mean, it's hard to scale these things, but that was certainly for me the hardest story to tell and potentially, you know, the most important. It was so shocking to get an understanding of what had happened to Tamika Mullaly and her son. And, we were kind of horrified that no one else knew their names, that this terrible event had happened in Broome. It's a really devastating story of a baby and his mum and a domestic violence situation that went kind of ignored by police. So the injuries that Tamika had sustained were kind of overlooked, and it just spiraled from there. So it is a story that was covered in Jess Hill's books, which has got the same title, See What You Made Me Do. So that's where I was first introduced to that story. And then we went on to work with the family, and less so Tamika herself, whose life has been devastated by what happened to her baby. And it was, you know, it was one of those stories that I felt was so hard to tell, but we all had a duty to Charlie, the baby, to tell this story. And I kind of forced myself to imagine that night for him and to try and tell it as honestly as I could in terms of the horror of a story which unfolded, which could have been prevented.
So, what did director and series producer Tosca Luby learn while making this documentary film?
You know, in my own life, I haven't had that much experience with domestic abuse. I don't think there's any woman who can say that she absolutely has no experience with domestic abuse. I think that would be a very rare thing to hear. But I certainly was, my eyes were opened to, I guess, the situation that women and children find themselves in that is so surrounded by silence. That, to me, I guess, was the most important and probably devastating thing that I learned, and in some ways, I guess the positive out of that, if you can call it a positive, is that I feel it's something we can work with. That a series like this, I mean, you know, as someone who makes television, a lot of the time you think your job isn't that important. Television isn't exactly life and death, but with a series like this, it does feel important, and I feel like if people can watch this and learn things about their own situation, or recognise situations that friends might be in or family might be in, then that is really important. And I think so much is about breaking down silences and allowing people to speak out. And I think this year has been a remarkable year for that too. You know, we've had kind of, I think, Grace Tame standing up and doing an amazing job of encouraging people to find their voice. And I think her words have been heard, and I hope similarly this series will enable people. You know, that's the whole point, is that it gives people some sense of agency, that they can, there are places that they can turn.
The three-part documentary film, See What You Made Me Do, is due to screen on SBS this week and simulcast on NITV, and also available at SBS On Demand. And Tosca Luby says the series hasn't been an easy one to make.
It's been a really hard series to make. You know, a friend said to me a few days ago, how do you feel about it going to air? And I said, I feel like I'm holding delicate lives in my hands, you know, and I'm sending them out for scrutiny. And that's terrifying, because there's so many people in this series who have taken an enormous leap of courage to tell their stories. And I know, I understand that courage because, you know, I was there with them, and I understand how hard it was for them to actually sit in front of a camera and retell these stories. Every time they do it, it's painful all over again. And, you know, we had a whole lineup of people who did that for us, and they've done it because they really want people to understand what happened to them or what happened to their loved ones, and that, you know, there is more that we can do to protect people and to put systems in place that will protect people in those situations in the future. So look, it's been an incredibly grueling series to make. It's been, it's taken a huge amount of care, a duty of care. And all of us, we've actually had a psychologist who's worked with us because, you can't not be affected by these stories and to understand how lives are devastated and often how the victim survivors of domestic abuse and the victims of domestic abuse who don't survive, their stories can be lost. And I think it was really important to all of us working on this series that their stories weren't lost and that we understand that these things have happened and that things must change.
Tosca feels really proud making this TV series, and she hopes for real change across the nation when it comes to issues of domestic violence.
I'm really proud of this series. I'm proud that SBS have had the courage to do it. I think it's taken a lot of grit from everybody involved, and I really hope that the government can listen and that there's real change and not just empty words, that some of the solutions that are happening around the world could really be trialled in Australia. And I think we've got to make a much bigger effort to reduce numbers of not just women being killed, but the women and children and sometimes men, but far less often men. That's just how the statistics go. Who are living these lives of fear, we need to give those people space to speak out and to speak out without feeling that their lives become more dangerous because they've revealed what's happening.
Hannah McGlade is an Indigenous legal academic and practitioner at Curtin University Law School. She is also a member of the UN Permanent Forum for Indigenous Women.
I've been working in the area of violence against Aboriginal women since I was very young, actually. I worked in a women's refuge more than 30 years ago. It was a refuge for young girls. And I have experienced violence in my life. I actually survived a really terrible assault by non-Aboriginal men as a girl. I'd been living in some of the institutions where Aboriginal kids were sent to board for school. And unfortunately, these places, run by Catholics and other religious institutions were very dangerous to children. So I had a lot of years working, and advocating these issues, particularly with my law background, and seeing how there just wasn't, legal protection or support for Aboriginal women experiencing violence. That's the background, and specifically in relation to this case and documentary, I read about Tamika's case in the media and was just deeply shocked. I'd been working in a family violence prevention legal service, which was throughout the state, regional as well, and had, interest from living in the Kimberleys and having family there too, East Kimberley, about what had actually happened to Tamika, and seeing that, this poor young woman had her baby murdered, and yet the police were actually pursuing her as if she was the person in the wrong. And so that's how I, first came to know of her case and the fact that there was such a serious injustice happening against her.
Indigenous legal academic Hannah McGlade was deeply shocked to learn about the case of Tamika Mullaly and baby Charlie.
It may be that I learnt about Tamika actually being charged by police, even though her baby had been abducted and murdered. Because there really wasn't the media publicity that you would think would happen in such a case. And if baby was a non-Aboriginal baby, this would have been frontline news on every major, channel outlet. And it simply wasn't. and the only reason is because of race and racism in this country. She clearly was a victim of a most horrendous crime. We can't even imagine, you know, this if this had happened to our baby. And yet the police in West Australia were treating her as a criminal. That was, you know, just so shocking. It really showed how discriminatory and racist the legal situation was here. That's what shocked me as much as the actual crime itself, which was horrendous. They charged her with some kind of disorderly offence. I've studied her case and written about it in a chapter that's going to be out within the year. It's in a book called Deathscapes, and the chapter I wrote with Professor Stella Tarrant from University of West Australia is called Say Her Name. And we document Tamika's case along with Jodie Gore, along with Miss Doo's case, to show what's happening, what's being done to Aboriginal women by the justice system today, the absolute utter abuse, which can even result in Aboriginal women's lives being lost, and in this case resulted in baby Charlie losing his life. And you know, Tamika was so badly assaulted that she'd actually, you know, had her clothes taken. A woman next door who was a nurse had wrapped a sheet around her to protect her. She'd been, you know, a victim of a very violent assault, and the police wanted to question her as if she was a witness. There was a male officer there. You know, this is not appropriate when a person is clearly in a state that they've been seriously assaulted, they are a victim. The police are required to attend to them as a victim.
So, what needs to be done to offer more culturally appropriate services for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander domestic violence victims?
And we're not seeing the protections. We're not seeing the investment into prevention that we need to be seeing, and particularly in relation to culturally appropriate therapeutic responses for women, but also for men and for our children and young people. So, look, I think this is really a big picture of violence that includes not just individual perpetrators who can be white or black.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women make up one quarter of murder cases in Australia, yet we only make up 3% of the overall population. These are statistics that has Hannah McGlade concerned.
I think, you know, if the people aren't aware of how widespread violence is in Australia against women and girls, this certainly is going to make the case very strongly. I think we should know that. We are seeing women being murdered in horrific circumstances across the country, and we know the rates of murder of Aboriginal women are sky high. Aboriginal women are making up at least a quarter of all murder cases in Australia, and that's pretty shocking when you think of the Aboriginal population percentage being only quite small. Really, we're a minority of 2-3% in this country, and yet the overrepresentation of women as murder victims is so high, and murder is one final, you know, part of that violent cycle, the most horrific ending of a woman's life. And we're actually seeing, you know, children even take their lives now from the violence, actually. So I think this will be awakening that's happening, and maybe it will stir up some anger, and it needs to, because we need to channel those feelings, you know, to actions and make this country a better place for women, particularly Indigenous women and children.
Hannah McGlade explains the domestic violence situation for Indigenous women in Western Australia has its own challenges.
We see widespread removal of Aboriginal children from their mothers on the basis of violence against the women, and yet no support has actually been offered to the mothers. It's pretty shocking in my state, and particularly in Perth, which has the highest population of Aboriginal people. We don't even have a Aboriginal women's program for, you know, women who are experiencing violence. There is no culturally appropriate program that women can go to get help. And we also know there's a dire housing shortage. So women can't really often leave their homes because they'll be homeless with their children and at further risk. And they're simply being told that they won't get their children back until they find housing. And yet there's no social housing available to them. So this is the violence that's happening, and it's so important that we, you know, really learn more and do more about it.
Well, that's about all for this episode of the NITV podcast. Thank you to our guests today, Tosca Luby, the series producer and director of See What You Made Me Do, the documentary film, and Hannah McGlade, Indigenous legal academic and practitioner at Curtin University Law School. And Hannah is also a member of the UN Permanent Forum for Indigenous Women. See What You Made Me Do premieres at 8:30 Wednesday, 5th of May on SBS and SBS On Demand. The three-part series continues weekly and every episode will be simulcast on NITV. Episodes will be repeated at 9:30pm Sundays on SBS Viceland from the 9th of May. If this NITV podcast or the documentary raises issues for you, or if you're concerned about someone you know, or if you, a child or another person is in immediate danger, call 000. If you or someone you know needs assistance, please contact the following organisations. 1-800-RESPECT, telephone 1-800-737-732. On the internet, go to the website 1-800-RESPECT.org.au or Kids Helpline, telephone 1-800-55-1800 or go to the internet at kidshelpline.com.au or the Men's Referral Service, telephone 1-300-766-491 or go to the internet at ntv.org.au or you can contact Lifeline, telephone 1-300-111-14 or go to the internet at www.lifeline.org.au. And don't forget, you can listen to our other NITV podcasts like Take It Black, Ballin' Out and Our Story. Just go to where you get your podcasts from.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.